Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Doing It, the podcast where sex has never been so nerdy. With me, your host, Hannah Witten. This is our end of season episode, and I am joined by our wonderful producer, Mia. Woo woo!
Hello, hello, everybody. So nice to be on here on this side.
Yeah. Does it feel nervous on this side or just different?
It was just different. It was funny having you say all the things we'd normally say to a guest, like, can you check this? Can you put your headphones on? Can you take a selfie? It's like, okay.
Yeah. Although, even though I did go through all of that with you, I forgot to actually start my own backup recording, but I have now, so it's fine.
There we go.
It's been a while since we've done one of these. Like, for you, our listeners, we just had our last episode go out last week, but we were so on it. Mia was so on it with this season that we actually finished recording all of our guest interviews back in November. So
that's so long ago.
I know, it's ridiculous. But we wanted to come on here and kind of like end off the season. And also I wanted to introduce you guys to Mia because she is my creative producer. She works on the YouTube channel and also the podcast. And this season has been one that she's basically produced because I was on maternity leave and like you were working on like guests and scheduling and stuff whilst I was off, and then like as soon as I came back to work it was like let's go.
It was like, sorry, you just had a baby, what? No, we're gonna record.
We're gonna record. How many episodes did we do? It must have been like 20 odd.
I think it was a bit more. I think it was like 23 or something, 24 in the end.
There we go. Yeah, so we're just going to have a little chat about how this season has gone. We've asked for some of our listeners' questions, which we have compiled. We're going to chat about making the podcast, and then we're also going to talk about like some of the topics and guests and questions that you guys had about those stuff. And then there are a few like personal and advice questions, which we'll get to. But before all of that, actually, Mia, do you want to like properly introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you. So it's so nice to meet you all. I've absolutely loved working on this podcast. It's been such an amazing opportunity. And
very formal.
Yeah, I know, so I don't know why I led with that, but just generally I've loved doing this podcast. It's been so fun and I've learned so much. But yeah, a bit about me. I'm Hannah's producer. My background is in documentaries, so I've been making documentaries for many years, exploring all sorts of themes around identity and culture. But I've always had such an interest in sex education and all the sort of types of identity that fall under that. And I started training as a sex and relationship psychotherapist a few months before I started with Hannah. And I wanted to combine my sort of creative work with nerding out about sex, and it led me to find Hannah, and I've been working with her ever since. So yeah, working with Hannah and also still studying to be a sex therapist, and I definitely like draw a lot on what we do, and I learn with this work in my studies as well, for sure.
Yeah, I remember when I first put out the like call for this position shortly after I'd found out I was pregnant, being like, I'm going to need some help. And I'd always thought finding somebody who has, because I was trying to find someone I could offload a lot of the stuff I was doing onto. And so it's like, how do I find someone who understands content creation and sex and relationships? And then you appeared.
Yay. No, it was a real manifesting situation. I've never really like referred to myself as manifesting anything, but in this situation, it was exactly what I was looking for as well. And yeah, it's been great. I mean, I can also say a bit about what I do with you, I guess.
Yeah.
So I produce the podcast, and that's been involving researching and choosing guests and sort of thinking about topics. And then writing the questions and thinking about themes, which I then share with you.
And another huge part of it, actually scheduling in the time that we're going to do. That's a big part.
Yeah. Sometimes my brain, and anytime we needed to make a change, my brain would hurt after, but we got there. We did it.
We did.
And then, yeah, working with Hannah on the YouTube channel as well, either helping make her ideas happen or bringing some of my own ideas, writing some scripts, working with script writers. Just generally keeping the Hannah Witten boat afloat.
Yes, indeed. We need all the help we can get here. Okay, so I feel like we should dive into some of the listener questions. Okay, so the first one I've got here is, this one's Patreon related, actually, because one of the things that we did towards the end of this season was start a Patreon bonus episode, which is me and Mia talking after we finish recording with the guest and kind of what comes up for us, a bit of behind the scenes, but also like us reflecting on the topic and what the guest has been saying. And so this question comes from one of my patrons, and they've said, how are you feeling about the How Was That For You episodes? Because that's what we've called them. And do you feel they help the subjects sink in for you? I think they do for me. Sometimes now that we do them, it almost feels weird that we were to like have a really intense chat with somebody and you would just be there like silently in the background, like listening and writing notes. And then we'd be like, okay, peace, bye.
Yeah. Sometimes I would like frantically write in our Discord being like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Or like, I can't believe that. Yeah. I never thought of that.
but now we can actually do that. Yeah, it feels nice.
For sure.
It feels like aftercare. Yeah. It's podcast aftercare.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we could have called it aftercare.
No, but I love the name.
How was that for you?
How was it for you? I feel like aftercare can be for when all the technology goes really wrong.
Oh, yeah. Definitely need some aftercare when it's like a stressful tech situation.
I think it's really interesting to have those discussions. And like, I think how they said, they phrase it, sink in. It does. It makes you sort of like really think about what stuck out. And yeah, just getting to have a little discussion with you. And what does that bring up for us both as sort of thinkers, but also as producers, like has that led to a sort of question or a thought about, oh, it would be really interesting to talk about this more. And I think, yeah, it's been a great thing to do together.
Yeah, I enjoy it. So someone's asked, does Mia ever want to jump in with her own questions for guests? I don't know the answer to this.
This season I have written the questions, so I feel like all the questions in a way have mostly been mine, but then you absolutely also do come up with some yourself. So I feel like it's less that I want to jump in with a new question, but sometimes because I write so many questions, you can't get through them all. Sometimes I'm like, oh, please ask this question. or like you go in one direction, which is totally valid, and then I'm like, oh, will we get to cover this topic, because I really wanted to hear the answer. So I feel like that can come up sometimes, but no, mostly you just do a great job and there's lots of options there and most of them are good.
But that also actually kind of links to the next question, because somebody said, how often does Hannah stick to the questions Mia has prepared versus following up on things that the guests have said and going off on interesting sex nerdy tangents? Well, I'm glad you think they're interesting. I think every episode it happens. I find it so useful having all of those questions there, just because of the time constraints now with me working part time and having a baby and all of that, in case you didn't know. I find it so handy that I basically look at the questions that you've written out. I organize them or like move some around in a way that works for my brain and how I would like structure it in my head. Then I like star a bunch that I like really want to get to, and then I just go. And then from there, I just kind of like let whatever happens in the conversation happens. And so if there's something that the guest brings up, then maybe I'll like explore that more if that's interesting.
I think it's so important to just like take that natural flow, and it makes it much more conversational. It's less like just an interview where you're sort of reeling through questions. And something I remember is like, it's nice having that unpredictability. And I remember the episode with Jiminika Iborn, who's the trauma queen. And do you remember that episode ended up being like weirdly funny and lighthearted?
Yeah.
And we were so surprised by it because it was one of the most heavy topics sort of going into it. And I think,
With like, lots of serious questions on the page.
Lots of serious questions. And I can't remember specifically now, but I remember you like leading with things and talking about stuff with her and also really connecting. And it was such a nice episode, but so different, I think, to how we predicted. And that's great, you know. And also it was nice that you were able to talk so much about trauma, which you did, but do it in a way which was maybe a little less harrowing, and maybe that a bit more accessible, which is nice, especially for a topic like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I remember that one being really funny. And I think us also saying at the end, I can't remember if we made it into the episode, but where at the end we were like, that was that was a good time. Like, what?
Yeah.
So we have a question that was, are there any guests that Hannah hadn't heard of until Mia suggested them? Yes, so many. I think this is one of the brilliant things that you've brought to it, is because like, through doing the podcast, obviously, like at the beginning, I started out with like people that I know, and I know a lot of people in this like sexuality field, and so that was really fun. And also, it's like it's easier to like reach out to people who you already have a connection with to be like, hey, can you come on my podcast? But then you've just been like, right, who could we get on? Also, like because you're also involved in like the sexuality field, you are, you know, consuming and absorbing all of this stuff, and you will come across people that I would never have come across. And so, yeah, it's been really cool. You'll be like, oh, I've got, like, I want to do this topic and I found this person. I'm like, amazing.
Yeah, it's honestly been so fun. And what I've loved is, like, everyone I write to is like, oh, yeah, love Hannah. Or like, oh, it'd be such an honor. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. Just, like, getting to write to everyone and it's always a yes, and just sort of coming up with like really far-fetched ideas and far-flung, and because you've built such an amazing platform and you're an amazing person, people are like, yes, I'd love to. And it's like, this is so fun.
My God. Is this just an episode of the two of us just congratulating each other?
And so it should be. And so
exactly.
It should be.
So question, does having Mia on board as a creative producer help make things smoother, less stressful, easier for Hannah to do when she's only working part-time? Do you think you would have been able to have kept doing the podcast post-maternity leave without Mia? It would have been very difficult. Because you came on board whilst I was still pregnant.
Yeah.
And we were like mid a season. And so you helped with the end of that season. But then this last season has been one that like from beginning to end, you have basically produced the whole thing. And oh my God, it makes things so much smoother for me. So much easier. Like, I obviously have some involvement when it comes to like prioritizing which guests we want to reach out to, because our list is so huge. So Mia and I will every so often will like sit down together and be like, okay, who's the next like three or four people that we want to reach out to? And then I just let Mia go off and do that. And then we like obviously have to schedule in the recording. I look at the questions a bit beforehand. And then I just show up to record, and it's so dreamy. It's so dreamy. I don't know.
I think it's part of. I think it's part of the Hannah workflow. The Hannah Witten workflow that I sort of took the lead on the soonest.
Yeah,
and
I think
it
so.
Sort of became quite like, you were able just to come and then like record and do it without having to do all the sort of faff.
Yeah, and you write the intros for them as well. So then I will like batch record a bunch of intros and we'll go together as well.
It's definitely allowed us to do a lot more with the podcast. I don't think we can say you would, I think you would have still done it, but it's definitely like, I think this season six was really impressive. We did so much. We covered such an interesting breadth of topics and people.
It's definitely the most like global season as well in terms of like where the guests are from in the world.
Yeah. And we really wanted to do that. Like, that's my background, is like telling global stories. But I remember also when we had our interview, that was like a theme that really came up when you sort of said like, oh, what would you be interested to bring? Mm-hmm, and like, I think we just spoke about like really diversifying like globally the voices.
Yeah,
and,
especially
I'm
because
really proud of that.
Yeah, since the pandemic, like the podcast started out, I think definitely the first two seasons, I can't remember exactly when the pandemic happened, basically. But the podcast was all recorded in person at the beginning, which obviously like limits you in terms of like who you have access to. So yeah, very cool, very cool. Okay, I absolutely love doing it's the Sex and Relationships podcast where sex has never been so nerdy tagline. How did you come up with that? So story time. No, it's not really a story.
Tell me.
So I did this Patreon brand of you workshop. Every so often Patreon like put on these like sometimes webinars, sometimes workshops, like events and stuff for creators. And yeah, and this was one of them. It was like a long-term thing. So it was like every week there was like a call and there was a session and there was homework. And it was all about figuring out your like brand identity in terms of like the language that you use to describe it. And that has been so useful for me. Like I actively did the homework because I knew that I like would find it really useful.
Because you're a sex nerd.
So I have like a... yeah. So I have like, I have this like... graphic that I created that's like my brand personality and archetypes and like all the different words. And then one of the exercises, one of the pieces of homework was coming up with a tagline. Mm. And this wasn't specifically for the podcast. It was kind of like for like the Hannah Witten stuff in general. And yeah, the Where Sex Has Never Been So Nerdy. That was during that process was how I came up with that. And I really like it too. So I'm glad that you do.
Yeah, no, I've been using the word like nerd to refer to myself a lot more since working with you.
Ooh, the like identity osmosis or something's happening. I love that. Yeah, curious, like curiosity was like one of the big words as well that came up when I did that exercise. Do either of you have a dream guest that you haven't managed to get on as a guest yet but would really like to? Shall we like after three, like say our person?
Yeah.
And see if we have the same person.
Okay,
3, 2, 1.
Shitty
Esther Perel.
I knew
that that was going to be.
Really? Yeah. You knew that was going to be?
I knew that was going to be a person.
Yeah. That's so funny. How did you know that?
I don't know. I just knew. Yeah. I just knew.
Yeah.
We've reached out to Esther and her team. We're hoping that we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
And we'll see.
I wonder if people actually heard what we both said because we said it at the same time. But I said Shruti Gatwa, who's the actor from Sex and the City. Oh, sorry, not Sex and the City. Sex Education.
He plays Eric.
And I think just as a human.
He's also going to be the new Doctor.
New Doctor Who, yeah. Also, he's in the Barbie movie.
Oh my God, okay. Is he too famous for us? I'm so excited for that film.
I love him. He's just such an incredible character. I think like someone being able to sort of genuinely light up your life just through being on screen, I think is a very special person.
And Esther Perel is just
she's the goat.
Amazing when it comes to how she can, how she can talk about relationships and desire. And I just, oh my God.
I think she has completely changed like the world's relationship with therapy. I think so many people like wouldn't necessarily have engaged with therapy.
Like couples therapy.
Couples therapy, but also probably personal therapy. But yeah, couples therapy especially. I think like since Esther's come on the scene and she's become as much of an icon as she has, I think it's completely changed people's like openness and understanding and sort of comfortableness as well talking about therapy. Yeah. And that's just amazing.
I think also just the idea, like even if you don't go down the therapy route, the idea that like the work that you have to do for romantic relationships. Anyway, she would be amazing.
Yeah.
And
One day. Esther actually came on the podcast, it's like, what questions would we ask her? Because like, I just don't want, she gets interviewed so much, so we'd have to really think about like how to make this one different, which would be so like amazing, but also daunting.
It would just be me being like, oh my God, I watched your TED Talk when I was like 20 years old. It changed my life. Okay, Hannah has been coming into the studio in the evenings for some podcast recordings, correct? While Dan is at home with Rowan because of time zones and working part-time. Oh, yeah. How do I feel about work-life boundaries shifting more since coming back to work after maternity leave? Yeah, I mean, that was just one of the things. We want to get guests on who are in different locations or different time zones. And because, especially so when we were recording this season, I was working half days. So it was really difficult to find the time. Like we were really limited in terms of, when I could record. And so we would always have to do evening recordings if they were like US based, especially West Coast. Yeah, it was tricky. I had a, my boundary was one evening a week max.
Yeah.
that was like a personal boundary just because it was so tiring. But then also like a family boundary.
Yeah. I think it was like a sacrifice you made, like some time away from Rowan, some time away from Dan and resting to allow us to like broaden who we could have on the show. But it was a bit of a sacrifice in that way. But I think like you reached a sort of, as you say, a boundary that you felt okay with.
Yeah. And Dan was so chill about it. I'd be like, I've got this podcast recording. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, of course.
He's like, yeah, I can do more gaming.
Well, he's still got to look after a baby. Yeah, that's true, but
After Rowan's gone to bed.
After he's gone to sleep. Yeah. But we've now got into a good place with it. Like I actually go out now more in the evenings, like for fun. Mm. And like going to the theatre and stuff now than I did like whilst pregnant.
Yeah, you have more energy.
So, like, yeah, a different kind of energy. It's different. Like it's a more intense, chaotic energy.
Yeah.
This is kind of related to what we were talking about before. Would you ever go back to recording episodes of doing it in person with guests who are in London, or does virtual recording give more flexibility? I love the virtual.
Mm. I think if we were to do it...
flexibility... Oh, go on.
I think if we were to do it in person, it would be to maybe do some, like, one-off live events, which we've spoken about as, like, could be quite fun.
Yes.
And that, I think that's something we do want to think about. Could we do soon? But that obviously takes a lot of planning. That would be a fun thing to do in person and get to, like, have an audience and meet people.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, but I think just generally for the podcast, virtual, it's just like so easy because then I can just come to my computer. And like when I think back to recording in person, the amount of like traveling around I was doing and like lugging all my podcast gear. Oh, man.
I think doing it online actually allows us to do more, both in terms of the variety of guests we can have, but also, like you say, having more energy to then record more rather than like schlepping around the city.
Yeah.
And using up resources on that.
And also now the video is a huge part of like podcast marketing.
Mm.
And because we like post videos on our like Instagram and TikTok, it's so easy because when you're doing it virtually, you just automatically record video. Whereas like if we were doing stuff in person, lugging podcast gear and camera, like honestly, nightmare. Okay, let's move on to some like topics, guest questions. Somebody asked, most surprising / insightful thing you've learned this season. I'm going to be honest, it still stuck with me, but the fact that Angela Merkel was conservative. Like,
you were so shocked.
That blew my mind.
That was so
she is
funny.
Just not presented that way in the British press.
No.
Anyway.
I'm she's like sure the cool got, gal of politics for us. She's not.
I feel really lied to and let down by the British press in many, many ways. Do you have any standout things?
I loved the episode with Dr. Veronica Ivy all about being a trans athlete. And I think you feel the same way, just like hearing her.
I was just mind blown from beginning to end that episode, honestly.
Yeah, she was amazing. And just like all this stuff around science and testosterone that we've just been like fed or made to believe, and just absolutely busting the myth. Like, just the fact, I remember her saying that there's no correlation between testosterone levels and performance ability. And that actually it was something like athletes of the highest performance tend to have lower testosterone or something. So I was just
going to have to re-listen to that episode, honestly, because I think it was just jam-packed with so much information and myth-busting in just such a like engaging and... yeah, just interesting way. I was just like, oh my goodness. And it's one that I think is just a really good episode to signpost people to.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's just so much misinformation out there about trans people and the like trans people in sport thing comes up every now and then as well, and so we can just be like,
the facts. It's like an episode that I want to quote the stats like all the time. But yeah, I just that was so. And I remember just like I remember also this theme of it's not just gender, which is sort of a construct and a binary, but actually all the stuff she was talking about then on the biological basis sort of made it seem that like sex is also sort of
like because everything is on a spectrum.
Yeah, and these things like testosterone is met, like all that's just like actually this is not true, and it was definitely the most mind blowing one. As well as one that you're like, this is so useful for then like counteracting sort of transphobia and stuff. I loved that episode. That was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Which other ones? I found it so interesting having Evie Lupine on and talking about being asexual and kinky, and then like reframing kink as an intimacy practice, and it doesn't just have to be sexual. And
yeah,
this was so interesting for me because like I really have used that in my psychosexual therapy studies. Like we had a case study that talks a lot about like asexuality and someone who's like asexual but still wants to be able to like engage with stuff with partners. And I've just found that like such a useful insight into like, first of all, what asexuality is and like how it's different for different people, and there might be different things you're willing and not willing to do, but also how like you could introduce something like kink, which doesn't have to be sexual. I found that super interesting for sure.
Yeah, it was Evie's YouTube channel where I think first came across just the fact that you could be asexual and kinky, because and the whole idea of like kink beyond something that was part of sex. And it being its own intimacy practice or hobby or thing. Evie's YouTube channel was like, that was what introduced me to that. And so I was, it was good to get her on the podcast and kind of hopefully introduce that to more people. It was good. I really loved the chat with Stacey Clare about being an ethical stripper. I think the thing about that episode that I found really interesting, and also I just like wasn't expecting to happen in our chat, was like how detailed she was about the history and the policies that have impacted strip clubs and sex workers. It was just like so detailed and so fascinating, and also just like making you so angry. It was really interesting to learn that history that I didn't know about. And also just the way that she presented, you know, sex workers' rights as also just part of this like broader workers' rights movement that we're also seeing, you know, play out now in our society and in our politics. And I really loved that.
Like having Stacey on is such an example of like, because Stacey is a sex worker and that's a community, and she also created her union. It's like an example of someone who deep dives into topics and information and laws and facts that like directly influence like her and her community's life. And like we would never just have that knowledge of ourselves because it doesn't fully directly like impact us, and just getting to like really understand all the minutiae and how everything is connected. And she was just so knowledgeable, like I mean, she's written a book on it, and like you can tell because and just her passion. And I think like also just really inspired that she's like, okay, this isn't working, like something's not right, and just completely educating herself on the laws and loopholes and all that. And yeah, she was super inspiring. For sure.
So somebody has asked, ever thought a guest opinion was totally wrong? I can't think of anything off the top of my head, to be honest. The only thing that I could think of is maybe they would just say something in a way that's not how I would word it or the language that I would use. But I can't think of any specific examples. I don't know if you can. Or do we even want to say
I think I remember like, so sometimes people say stuff that's just different to other guests, and sometimes it's a bit hard to like flip-flop between agreeing with them. Like I remember I have one example of a guest saying something like, in terms of dating or meeting someone you then have a relationship with. It's like, when you stop looking, that's when you find them, or something like that. And I remember someone saying that, and it's like, we've probably completely talked about the other thing in other situations. So,
of being really intentional yeah. with dating. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that I'm like, you're wrong, but it's like, okay, maybe I don't agree with you, or it's just interesting sometimes flipping between guests and the way people frame stuff is quite different. Or, for example, I think like when talking about being a woman, that's in a trans inclusive way, but then other people, maybe because of the work that they do or the guests, they talk about like being a woman that is more about like being a cis woman. And it's just like sometimes flipping between, because everyone has their different experiences, and they're not necessarily like trans exclusive at all, but just the way that
it's just, that's the experience they're
exactly
talking about.
And yeah. it's because it's like more of their experience, do you know what I mean? So I think it's not that we've thought people's experiences are wrong, it's just sometimes like they can contrast from other guests, and then that's a bit funny.
Yeah, no, I can see that as well. Yeah, yeah. But that's the beauty of it. Mm. It's, you know, it's all yes and, yes and.
Yeah, or like all for me, you know, it's in the end, it's for individuals, me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has asked, are you interested in making your podcast more parenting focused like the YouTube channel has? No, but also but maybe they're talking about the More Hannah channel, because that YouTube channel has definitely become more parenting focused because it's a lifestyle channel, so it's about my life. But I don't think the Hannah Witten channel really has. We've had like the odd video here and there that's about like sex and intimacy after giving birth and things like that, but breastfeeding.
HW channel stayed still pretty broad, and I think like it's great having the podcast cover all sorts of topics. I think generally if it became too parenting, I think I'd get a little you'd be like, less interested in it. Yeah, no.
Exactly. And I think that's the case for a lot of people as well. I'm trying to think if we've done any like parenting specific ones this
we've had
season.
Jessica and Claudia, but that was,
I think they were the
season.
I think they were the last the season before
quite a few guests have had kids, like Nana Darqua. I think she spoke about raising like a feminist child, and you know, it's always really interesting to talk about that for sure.
Yeah,
but I think like the
but it's not
going to
become a parenting podcast. Never fear, it might come up because that's just the way of life.
It's just a part of life.
Okay, this next question is an interesting one. Let's dissect. So this person has fully acknowledged, they've said, this is a sort of thought / question mess combo. So let's dive in. I'm someone who's on the ace spectrum, but tends to be the higher sex drive partner in a relationship. The episode with Cody made me wonder how you deal with biased / one-sided opinions from guests. Oh, this is kind of related to what we were saying before. I feel as if there was a brief mention that asexuality is about attraction, not drive, and then the discussion went on with the assumption that ace people don't ever want sex or are never the ones to whom sex is important. I'm wondering if there's any behind-the-scenes discussions of this, including whether the Chantel episode was deliberately juxtaposed with that point of view. What an interesting question.
Such an interesting question.
Go on. Did you have something to say?
I think, like, there's a lot of different points within this. I think the first thing that comes up for me is like every person who comes on the podcast, even if there's like an overarching topic that we want to talk about, they are just still an individual. So they're always really just going to be sharing their own opinion or drawing on their own experiences. And so it'll very much happen that there's a theme, and the way someone articulates or talks about something might not resonate with someone else who shares that same identity. Especially something like asexuality, which is actually such a big term. You know, you have like all the types of asexuality within that, demisexuality, gray sexuality, and then you have like types of asexuality, like sex repulsed, sex like neutral. You know, it's such a big term that it'll be hard for one person to like fully include all types of asexual identity. So that's sort of my first feeling.
Yeah. And also the bringing Chantel on wasn't deliberate in that sense. Mm. I think we wanted her on, one, to talk about the money stuff. We thought that was really interesting. Mm. And then also because we'd had Cody on and Evie on to talk about asexuality, but we hadn't had someone to talk about demisexuality. Oh, wait, no.
That's
had
not true because April and Renee. Yeah. But interesting because like April and Renee are in a platonic life partnership. So, you mm-hmm. know, everyone is then different, you know. So then yeah. it's like, okay, Chantel's demisexual, but she's now married. And just, yeah, hearing different people's opinions.
Yeah, and also we don't want to fall into the trap of like, oh, we've had an asexual person, oh, yeah. we've had a trans person, like on the podcast, done. We've done that identity. Never, yeah, let's never visit that topic or identity ever again. Yeah. So I think it's really interesting that this person like noticed like a difference between those two episodes and people's and their experiences of being on the ace spectrum. Intentional, like, but that's just going to happen, isn't it?
In some ways, not intentional. We weren't like, okay, we've had Cody, now we have Chantel, but it was definitely like, let's have different representations of asexuality.
Yeah. When we did, at the beginning of me coming back from mat leave, when we did that big like survey of my audience and we asked people what topics that they wanted to cover, yeah. asexuality was so popular. Big.
Asexuality so and demisexuality, those two yeah. were so, so popular.
So yeah. that's
we
were like,
why. We hear you.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, yeah, that's why we wanted to cover that a lot.
Yeah.
So, we've got some personal slash advice questions. Let's see how we do. Somebody has said, how to find partners to have sex with without dating apps or other people interfering with your dating life?
Such a good question.
Honestly, I
what
don't
do you think
know.
They mean by other people interfering with your dating life? Do you think that's people like judging you, like, oh, why are you just having sex with that person?
Or like, no, my thought was setting them up, being like, oh, you should get with this person.
Okay, interesting. Two very
that's
different
That's what I was expecting. Oh, yeah. We've answered your question with another question. Please expand. My general advice when it comes to the question of how do you meet people?
Yeah.
Whether, you know, this person wants to have sex with them, or a date or whatever it is that you want to do. So the ultimate thing is like, how does one meet people?
Yeah.
And I've always said, it's like, you have to put yourself into the situations. You have to go to the places where like the demographic is like who you want to meet. yeah. Who you want to have sex with. Yeah. Like that, you just need to, yeah. It's that annoying, like put yourself out there. I hate that. But it's like, you know, it's like, oh no, I was about to say you got to play the numbers game but that's like a very like pickup artisty like mentality. But let's just ignore them for a second. But it is just kind of like, you know, you're not going to meet anyone just sitting at home not being on dating apps. So yeah. it's, and you also don't want anyone to interfere. So you don't necessarily, I don't think you want anyone to do the work for you in terms yeah. of like meeting people. So it's like, what things are you interested in? What things do you want to connect with people over? Who do you want to get with? Hmm. Where are those people hanging out? Go to those places. Yeah.
And also like, what are the environments that you find easiest to talk to people? Like, do you find it easier just to like dance and like connect with someone just through like, yeah. you know, grinding and not having to chat? Or do you like to connect through like conversations and maybe then going to more of a space like that where it's not like loud music? Maybe it's a talk that you can mingle yeah. after, you know? So also, I guess, connecting with who you are as a person and the way that you socialize and feel like you can express yourself, and then think about what environments are more conducive to that.
Yeah, I was reminded recently of some of my past behavior. So this was something that I used to do in clubs when I used to go out, and if I wanted to like flirt with somebody, you know, there's people in the toilets and clubs who like sell sprays of deodorant or yeah. chewing gum or sometimes lollipops.
Yeah.
So I would buy two lollipops from this person.
Yeah.
And then if I met someone that I wanted to keep talking to or dance with or flirt with or whatever, if I wanted things to go somewhere, I would whip out the lollipops and I would offer them a lollipop. And then I would also unwrap my lollipop and start sucking it.
Oh my God, you're a genius.
Right? Right? Because it may sound really silly, but one, when you're doing something with your hands, people feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people are like, if I'm not going to drink in my hand, like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah. Just like offering something to someone is actually quite an easy first interaction rather than like having to ask them a question. I once chatted someone
it's
up.
It's really innocent.
Yeah.
It's got like that childish fun, like cheeky element to it. And then you're doing something with your mouth. And so they're going to be looking at your mouth and you're sucking on a lollipop and it's sort of sexual, you know.
Totally.
Anyway, that's my move.
Yeah.
That was my move.
I once chatted someone up in a library by offering to share my orange with them.
Oh,
it's a very similar scenario, but a lot more wholesome.
Would you like my orange, library friend?
But yeah, no, I'm definitely going to try that lollipop trick out in next
time in the club. Do they still have people selling lollipops in clubs? If not, just bring your own lollipops.
Yeah. That's such a good idea.
You're welcome. I hope we've somewhat answered your question.
Okay,
someone else has asked, how do you know you are ready for a baby and have that conversation with your partner? Ooh. So it's not just a conversation. It's going to be like multiple conversations ongoing. I think that's kind of the foundation of the advice that I would give is that I don't think there's a time that's like too early. Like I remember like when I was dating someone once and it was like established on date one or date two that he did not want kids. And I knew that I wanted to. So we both kind of were just like, cool, well, this is just going to be what it is, but it's not going to go anywhere. And we were both like fine with that. And I think really early on and with me and Dan getting together, also the topic of like, oh, do you want kids? But maybe if they're already your partner, maybe you've established, yes, you want kids. It's just then there's the conversation of like, when? And that, again, it's just going to be that ongoing conversation. Like, annoyingly, there's going to be like practical things that might impact your decision, like moving or jobs or money and like all of those things. But I think, and this is something that I really stand by, is there's no perfect time to have a baby.
Yeah.
And if you wait, if you're just like, let's wait until this, wait until this, wait until, you're going to be waiting always for something to happen. And sometimes you just got to go for it if it's something that you both really want.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as someone who isn't having a baby anytime soon, but would like to in the future, but is surrounded by a lot of people who've had babies, from my sisters and cousins to friends, I think in terms of the how you know you are ready, I think the thing that I would need to ask me myself is like, am I ready to give certain things up or sacrifice certain things? Because once you become pregnant and once you have a baby, like, there are going to be things you have to give up. And I think there's the factors, like you say, about financial, feeling secure in your relationship, if you're having it within the context of a relationship, do you feel like you have your support system? But then just like really for yourself, you know, am I ready to stop going out? Am I ready to give up alcohol if you drink? Am I ready to like not be able
stop
to
playing
do certain
tennis.
Exercise? Am I ready for my body to change? You know, like,
I
think just really trying to connect with yourself personally of where you're at. And like, actually, I think, it might be hard, but I think I could have that change. I think that's like the questions I'll ask myself.
Yeah. And also those changes would also be temporary.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of sacrifices that Dan and I have made. And I think a lot of those sacrifices do happen in the early years. But you know, once they can get on a bus by themselves, I'll start playing tennis again.
No.
But yeah, I think just make sure that it's an ongoing conversation. And then sometimes things happen that are out of your control. The reason why Dan and I decided to have a baby when we did was because I had a doctor's appointment and they were like, we're going to have to take out your bum hole at some point and that surgery is going to reduce your fertility. And I left the hospital, rang Dan and was just like, I got a ticking time bomb up my butt. Like, do you want to have a, shall we do this? And so that was the conversation, but we'd already had the conversation before of like, yes, we want to get married and we want to have kids. And so that then just was the kickstart of like, well, I guess let's start planning these things. Let's go.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. There's so many different factors. So many different factors.
So many. And then What a question to end things on. But are you curious to explore any new kinks?
Oh, wow.
Has there been anything in the podcast that's like piqued your curiosity, Mia? Or maybe they mean for like a video, because we did the like trying rope bondage video as well.
Gosh, maybe. Yeah. I was like, I haven't really talked about my sexual interests on your podcast.
Yeah. You don't have like, to. You do not have to. I think, do you know, honestly, like I often struggle between my curiosity for things in an intellectual capacity and then my curiosity for things in like personal, because I'm pretty much curious about everything to do with sex when it comes to just talking about it and learning about it.
Hmm.
And then when it comes to my personal life, I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I think with me, because I'm not in a relationship at the moment, I think like my desire to explore different things will also come with like being with someone who I feel really secure with. And I think like, as I hopefully will like have another partnership at some point, my interests and desires to explore will absolutely like grow and go on a little journey.
Yeah.
But I think like where I'm at in life at the moment is just feeling like I really want a strong sort of secure love and connection to be at the foundation of what I then explore in intimacy.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at, the world.
That makes sense. There you go.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested, yeah. Reach out.
But yeah, I'm always, as you say, I'm always interested in hearing about like different people's kinks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to be qualifying next year as a therapist, and I will be working a lot with people exploring their kinks. And like something I definitely have loved is the work we've done here. I just feel like I've learned so much more about the multitude of people's sexualities and desires, and it's just like so individual and never changing, and that's like a beautiful part of working in this world.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Mia, for a wonderful podcast season. Thank you all so much for listening and your questions. Thank you so much to our patrons who support this podcast. I think I've talked a little bit about it on my YouTube channel and social media, but basically we are independent podcast. Like we've had a few like behind the scenes money changes, and so the Patreon support is what is, you know, keeping this podcast going. And like we said, we do these So How Was That For You episodes, which you can find on the Patreon if you want to go back and listen to some of those for the past season. They're basically shorter versions of this, but then like focused on one episode.
Yeah,
we're going to take a little break from the podcast now. But yeah, if you want to keep up to date with when we'll be back and what's going on, then our Instagram is at Doing It Podcast. Yeah. Anything you want to share or plug, Mia?
Yeah, I think also just look out. Like, we loved having your suggestions earlier this year. So we'll definitely be doing another call out for like ideas, suggestions. So we love hearing from you guys. So definitely look out for that as well. But yeah, just thanks for listening. It's been a great season.
Thank you. All right. Bye. Bye-bye.